Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, KC? It's Hollywood Brown. Tune in on game days to hear the play-by-play with Mitch, Danny, and Kling on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
KFNC-FM and AM, HD1 and HD2, Kansas City, in Odyssey Sports Station.
I want to get to the poll question real quick, but before I do that, I've got to play the perfect sounder for it that everybody loves on a Wednesday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Not loving that new Dodger dog, that's for sure.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, I don't know that I've seen anything that has turned me off at a ballpark more than whatever they're trying to sell in L.A. today with this hot dog dipped in, like, cornflakes and then covered in mayonnaise. Like, Josh, that's yours, brother. Like, that's your mayonnaise dog right there.
The Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll here is who is more likely to turn things around individually this season, Chris Jones or Harrison Butker. The results of 155 of you listening and supporting, we appreciate that. 60.8% believe Chris Jones is the answer. 39.2% say Harry Butker is the answer.
Yeah.
So, Nathan? I think it's time that we get to find out if we're dummies here. Are you smarter than Bob or Dusty? Text line 913-586-7965. Mr. Williams, take it away.
We're just going to find out if this is easier, more difficult compared to what Mac usually gives you. But the number I have today is 31.6. It's a number related to the entire season for the Chiefs.
I'm going to say, and I'm just guessing, okay? But I think this is a good one. The average amount of rushing yards per game, not from Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Okay. No. I'm going to say it's the average amount of yards the Chiefs are giving up due to penalties.
No. My head would have went to a similar place. It's not related to penalties, but I think that's where after that Monday night game, my head would have gone as well.
31.6.
And the other hand I'll give you is it's a percentage. So it's not a
oh, Harrison Butker's field goal percentage this year.
It's close, but no.
Oh.
32.6%.
31.6%.
31.6%. Nah.
Chiefs conversion rate on third down?
No, sir.
The
text line is, they've a bunch of third down conversion rates came in just now. Minutes spent in the lead was a text. That's a, if it wasn't for the Ravens game.
Is that anybody right so far in the text line?
I have not seen it on the text line. How many times Kelsey has blown up on the sideline is that's a good one. That's a good one.
Had another one the other night from what I understand too.
Yeah.
31.6% is the percentage of pressures Chris Jones has created this year.
No, but the text line did just get the answer correct.
Okay.
So the Chiefs are sixth in the league in this compared to Sharp Football Analysis. As the 620 points out, it's a percentage of plays the Chiefs are allowing. Oh, I guess they said getting. They're allowing pressure on the quarterback 31.6% of the time. Sixth best in the league.
I was going to say, where does that rank? I didn't know if that was a good number or a bad number.
To go along with that, similar study that was put out yesterday, they are allowing a run stuff, which means the running back is hit behind the line of scrimmage 11.7% of the time. That's third best in the league.
Wow.
The offense is, this is the only offensive line that is the top six in both of those categories.
Yeah, this offensive line is starting to play really good football right now.
And why is that?
I think they finally just gelled, maybe. I think it's time.
Or
what? The Andy?
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
No, nobody did. It's interesting because I wasn't even thinking about Josh Simmons. When he was talking about the offensive line, I was thinking about Creed and Trey. And you know, even, you know, Wanye Morris or Kingsley Suamataia or whoever's playing left guard at that point in time, you know, whatever guy they're going to roll in there and do the thing with or whatever that sixth offensive lineman that they put in there. Jawan Taylor, I'm thinking about. Like, it's funny. The rookie doesn't even cross my mind anymore. Like, I just assume he's going to be fine, and we'll see in 20 years when you retire and they put your name in the Ring of Honor. Like, that's where I am with Josh Simmons through five games. And when you play over the course of a season, even though these guys have been together, each season is a new season, right? And it takes time to kind of get the inner workings going. And I think they've hit their stride on this offensive line. I think these last eight and a half quarters have, or ten quarters have been fantastic from the offensive line standpoint.
There's a few other wrong but funny answers from the text line about the number 31.6. The 816 says it's the amount of times Jawan Taylor has lined up illegally. 31.6 is the amount of seconds Trevor Lawrence laid on the ground on that last play before he scored the touchdown. A lot of good ones here.
A lot of days off.
the amount of time he laid on the ground is fantastic. I do love that one. You take the day for that.
Shout out to the 217.
Really, that's great. I love that. 31.6 seconds he laid on the ground, and Chris Jones is like, where's Kling? Hey, Josh, how you doing? Oh, you got to get that guy. Go get Trevor Lawrence. Don't say hi to Kling on the sidelines.
Somebody says playoff chances 31. It's actually 26.4% if you are 2-4.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad guess based on their record.
That's actually a solid guess. There was a lot of options at where you could have gone in that category. So, but it just goes to show you, back to the offensive line, they're really good right now. They're playing some really good football. That's why that loss on Monday night, you're just like, what the hell? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Oh, 13 penalties. That'll do it every time.
Yeah, somebody says 31.6% of the time of viewed of Trevor Lawrence picking his nose. Chris Jones' top speed on that last defensive play.
No, that's fast. Really fast. Yeah, that's really fast.
Because I think they said Shaheed for the Saints set the record for the so far this year with the fastest.
What, he get up to 21 or something?
It was like 25 miles per hour.
No way.
It was something ridiculous, like 23, 22, 24 miles per hour, like that he just separated and went.
Have you ever run against what, like, if they have the radar gun out there to get people to slow down? Have you ever run and see how fast you can run?
Yeah, a couple of times. It said could not register.
Exactly, right? And so
it's like when I step on the scale, it says get off.
You're hurting me. Get off. But that's fast. 25 miles an hour.
God. 2-3. I apologize. 2-3.
The same study, guys, has the Bengals. Oh, I'm losing them. Never mind. They are the third worst in pass pressures allowed. I thought that they had,
and that's where Joe Flacco went.
That's exactly right.
I was
going to
make a statement about how it's a myth and everything, but don't mind me over here.
No, so Joe Flacco is going to the Bengals yesterday, if you missed that news, as their new starting quarterback. To that offensive line, I am very intrigued to see how much time he has to throw.
I mean, he's not going to have much. They're going to have to put him in the extra shotgun, like a longer shotgun formation, to give him the opportunity, because that offensive line sucks. Shotgun. I mean, like, is that bigger than however many yards back you can go? Like, he may have to be the punter back there, right? Like a 15-yard long snap type stuff to give him the opportunity to achieve success. But I'll give Cincinnati credit for trying. They're not giving up on the season, and they realized they didn't have a quarterback that they could win with right now, and they figured they could get Joe Flacco. It's better than what they have.
Does that mean we're going to miss seeing Jake Browning's wife's outfits before the games? Because those are 31.6% of the time on my timeline.
Yeah.
31.6% of the time, the number of times during the game my wife asked me if that flag was on Jawan Taylor again.
You watched the game with my wife, too? Oh, my God.
21.72 miles an hour for Shaheed.
What was it? What?
21.72.
I thought you said 27.2. I was like, oh, my God.
That is insane.
An Olympian at that speed. I mean,
it's going faster than cars on 435 right now. God.
Do you think this is a scam text I just got? Hi, Dwayne, it's Mia.
Yeah, probably. Okay. Yeah, I would imagine it probably is. Do you think it's a scam that people think there's life out there now on Mars? There's this comet that flew by Mars yesterday.
And then it shifted.
Yeah, but do you know how close this comet got to Mars?
No.
Do you know, Nathan, how close this comet?
Are you smarter than the aliens?
Text line?
About 30 million kilometers from Mars. And that's like close, I guess, now these days. 30 million kilometers from Mars was this comment. And everybody's like reacting. We got life on Mars. 30 million kilometers? You know how far away that is? It's like from here to Mars.
We start talking about the vastness of space.
Yeah.
I'm going to get freaked out real quick. I'm going to need to go to Dusty's garage after the show today. Let's not get into that.
You'll see some aliens when you come out of that garage. I can tell you that much.
170 million miles away from us was this comet. You look up in that night sky. Get that night sky app when you're sitting in the garage and put it up in the air and see what's going on out there. A lot goes on in the sky.
26 million miles away. That's how far away my next love is from my heart. 26 Aww. Miles away. 26 million. 26 would be what?
That's a marathon.
That's basically here to Lee Summit. Somebody says the percentage that Nathan gave us was the percentage amount of alcohol I needed to get over the loss on Monday night. Well, gear up, Buckaroo, because you got a big one coming on Sunday night against the Detroit Lions that you can hear here on 96.5 The Fan. Something special happened last night in baseball, and also trade suggestions for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll give you a couple names that I think could make sense here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the 816, Sex Panther, 31.6% of the time it works every time.
I love it.
Kind of stinges the nostrils. It smells like Bigfoot's. Vermont. God, I love that movie.
You think Mac has ever seen that movie?
Anchorman?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You think so? I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Nathan, you've seen Anchorman, right?
I have seen Anchorman.
Okay.
I unfortunately saw Anchorman 2.
Yeah, I did as well.
Did you try to watch the new Naked Gun yet, or have I scared you?
You scared me. Yeah, I won't even go near it now.
I turned it on for 30 minutes and turned it off. I mean, I'm dead serious.
You know.
Not funny.
You, like Saturday morning, I wake up to one of the worst texts I could ever see. Don't waste your time with Naked Gun. It sucks. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, 30 minutes in, I turned it off. That tells you how bad something is. If somebody is turning it off in 30 minutes and just walking away and going, I just don't care about the rest. Have you ever walked out of a movie theater before?
Two.
You have.
Boondock Saints 2 and Blades of Glory.
Oh, Blades of Glory sucked.
It was terrible. I was like, why am I here? And I was high. Like, I was like, what the hell am I doing here?
Have you ever walked out of a movie, Nathan? I don't think I ever have.
I haven't.
To many movies.
Well, I was going to say, to be fair, I'm not a huge movie person either. That game you play with Mac, I would not be much better than him at that.
Right.
So I haven't walked out of a movie either, but I've also been, I go to a movie theater once a year, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe if that. You know, you sit down and these people take their shoes off and they gross me out, the movie theaters.
Will you go see the Bruce Springsteen movie with Jeremy Allen?
I'll probably watch it on television. Okay. Are you? I was going to ask you, are you going?
Yeah, I'll take the dad to. Yeah. We're going to go on October 25th.
Is that when you want to see an IMAX or something like that?
Nah, there's these new theaters, not new, but they're over by Longview. They got the recliner seats.
Oh, those
you can
great,
get the booze
yeah.
and all that.
How do you feel about drinking in a movie?
Love it.
You do.
You can get a 32-ounce Tank 7.
I understand that, but I don't want to get up and have to pee. And then you come back and you're like, what'd I miss? And
you don't really pee. I don't know. I don't know. I normally don't, but I think it's insane that you can get a 32-ounce Tank 7.
That's a lot of
that's
beer.
Like a
that's
case of beer.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, usually you get a Tank 7, they sell you an 8-ounce glass.
Because normally my movie theater snack is always Skittles, a large popcorn, and like a Blue Icy. Like, yeah. I'm not worried about what I'm going to look like leaving that theater, but normally that's the... you know,
the go-to
what's in the bag. Because I don't have the fortunate of going with the lady who can put all the snacks in her bag.
Right.
So I got to pony up every time I go in there, which you guys, I'm sure Jen's bag probably weighs like...
Well, we don't go. I mean...
But if you did...
No, I'm not...
You're going to Hy-Vee in that one candy aisle that has a giant bubble gum thing right, in there that all Hy-Vees have. And you're like, all right, what do we want? Junior mints. We want this. We want that. How much more room do you have in your purse?
Yeah, no, I've never done that. I've always played by the rules. I feel bad. I feel like I'm, you know, that's the introvert OCD, you know, guy in me, like thinking I'm doing something wrong all the time, right? And so I've never been that guy to kind of sneak the candy. I've never even snuck into the movies. Now, I think my kids may have possibly have done that at one point in time. I don't know that for sure.
Would it be a flex if you DoorDash to a movie?
Oh my God, that would be so cool.
I'm in theater 8.
Yeah.
Third row, fourth seat. Here's your large pizza, sir. Mm-hmm.
Shh. Yeah, that would be hysterical.
A lot of movie theaters just have that own service in the theater as well, right? They'll like bring it to your seat. I have definitely had a lady friend bring in 10 boxes of candy into a movie.
Hell at yeah. Points That's in my the life. Way to do it, man.
Now, nowadays, I'm just like, yeah, I want a little bit of popcorn and I'm good.
If I was president of the United States, I would have an immediate executive order on movie theater pricing.
You know, if I was president of the United States, I would immediately have an executive order where nobody could talk about the weather. And then see what the conversations are like. And maybe we could have some meaningful conversations with people. No more weather conversations.
I went to a movie in August. Was the last time I went to a movie theater.
Well, that's not far back.
It wasn't. But I was upset because I bought a soda, $8.25 for the soda, for the drink. Okay,
jeez.
And it was a medium soda.
So we're at $10.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the time tax and tip and all that.
The whole thing that I was mad about was I then... made the transaction, got the cup, and I said, oh, yeah, I can just come refill this if I want
to.
The guy said, no, you got to get a large for free. The large is $8.50.
How much was the...
$8.25. I would have appreciated you telling me that you know, but $8 for us. I mean, it's like more $2-3 more than a ball game, I feel it's insane.
It's nuts, right? I remember one of the first movies I went to with my father. I think we were watching... I think it was Major League, right? And I think that was the movie. And I said to my dad... can I get a soda? You know, like as a kid, I was like 11, 12, whatever it was. My dad, I'll never forget this because it's been a joke. He handed me 5 quarters to go get a soda.
Mm.
You know how big that soda was back in like 1989?
44 ounce?
Shot glass. It was a little tiny soda back then for 5 quarters, $1.25. So based on inflation and where we're going, that's about right.
Yeah.
Nathan, it's about right. $8.25, $8.50 for a drink. But that's where they're making their money now. You know, they're a business. And so I always feel like if I'm going to a ball game or a movie, I know what I'm getting into, right? Like I don't have to spend money when I go to the stadium or to the movie on food, but I know I'm going to do that. It's a night out. It's part of the budget. It's part of that. I won't complain about that because if you go to a restaurant, you're paying $3 for an iced tea that's worth 2 cents and whatnot. And so you're getting dinner and a show for that. So that's how I look at it to kind of keep myself from going crazy with what, you know, the prices are out there. But again, I don't have to spend that money if I don't want to.
Looks like Josh Klingler has texted into the text line. If you want to sneak in candy, cargo shorts are the way to sneak in candy.
That's how I used to smoke in booze. Sneak in booze to KU, where the cargo shorts, airplane bottles, right there you go. Walk right in.
So odds are out for the Kansas City Chiefs. They have the 5th best odds to win the Super Bowl. That is 9-1
right
now.
Isn't that crazy right now? Right.
Everybody is telling everybody that's panicking to relax.
Right.
Because this team is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds, you know, maybe disbelief that 2-3, some brutal losses, but you think about the loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, right? Travis Kelce drops that pass, gets picked off.
They
Buster misses a field goal, right. Stuff like that. You beat the Giants, you beat Baltimore. You beat Jacksonville if you don't make dummy O penalties and you don't have bad situational football.
Correctable.
That's why I think a lot of people are okay saying to themselves, they're fine. Rashee Rice comes back in another week.
Mm-hmm.
You got to survive this game, though. This is a game that you've got to go out there. And I think, I don't want to say it's a must-win game, but it sure the hell feels like a must-win game. But the Chiefs also still have the second best odds to win the AFC.
It's crazy, right? I don't think this is a must-win game because the season, as Q always says, and I'll just continue to steal his line, right? You know, do we cancel the season if we lose? Like, are we done if it's a must-win game? No, but it is.
You know, Bob, that's really none of your business.
Thank you, Matt. I will say this. It is a desperate game, though. Like, they need to play desperately this weekend. And I think They will. And I think when you're a team like the Chiefs and you're in that desperation mode, which they haven't been in a lot. I mean, maybe 2021 when they were 2-3 and on the brink of going 3-5. They played desperate. They played in desperation mode and they win games. And so I think they do need to be in desperation mode. They don't need to be in panic mode, but they need to be in desperation mode. And I think there is a difference. I think panic mode makes you play outside yourself. I think we saw a little bit of that in the second half with Jacksonville on Monday night. I think there was a little bit of a panic mode there on the defensive side. They got out of sorts. It didn't work. There was panic mode, I do believe, against the Chargers in that, you know, final defensive drive where Chris Jones is nowhere to be found where he's supposed to be. And so I think those are panic modes. I think desperation mode, though, is when you say, all right, we've got to put our best game plan forward. We've got to win this game. We're a desperate football team right now. And if you're the Lions, you don't want to come into Kansas City on Sunday night facing a desperate Kansas City Chiefs team that is trying to get right after a terrible, terrible, no good loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, if you're the Lions right now, you're looking at the Chiefs like, I wish they would have won that game against Jacksonville. I wish they were 3-2 instead of 2-3, because a desperate Chiefs team is a team that's going to come back and kick you in the face.
Somebody says 31.6% of the time that Nathan used to stretch a double into a single for the Tigers. Love you, buddy.
Yeah, it's literally Coach Dave right there. I got a shout out, Dave. He's a listener.
So you were like me, fast.
The exact opposite.
I know. I'm kidding. You know,
such a backhanded compliment.
Looking at me. You say I think he's slow, and I am. But I was like quick. Like I could. I have my reflexes are good. You know, my swing never had an issue. If I was a base stealer, my jump would be good. Right. Would be. I never stole any bases, but if I would, we're playing along to that. But yeah, I'm the slowest person you've ever met.
Are you feeling better about yourself now? Because I hope you are, because that felt like you needed to talk about that.
Do you think you could beat Alex Gold in the sprint?
Yes.
Absolutely not. I bet I'm the slowest guy at the station.
No.
I mean, Alex runs like a giraffe that just figured out his legs.
Yeah. We called him Alex Gump. Yeah.
What were the other combine activities?
Lifting, vertical, 40-yard dash. Let's see what else was
there. Was a jump and hit the sticks. That's the
that's
vertical.
Vertical.
The 40-yard dash.
There was the bench press. There was the litmus test. Is that what it was?
The
IQ of a quarterback test. I think Klinger, you won that one. One of the two.
Or Wunderlich?
Wunderlich, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm holding my own at most of those things. Speed, absolutely not.
I think so you could beat Alex. I mean, anybody could beat Alex. A corpse could beat Alex running.
That's tough. So when you look at this game moving forward, or you look at the season that has already started to show trades, there is a name that this article brings up for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's the AP, right?
Mm-hmm.
They bring up the fact that the Chiefs could go get a running back still, and that running back's name is Jalen Wright for the Miami Dolphins. 2026 sixth round pick. The Dolphins have fallen apart during a 1-4 start to the 2025 season. With little hope of turning things around, expect them to host a fire sale ahead of the trade deadline. They're going to keep a hold of Devon Achane, maybe be the real prize in Miami's backfield. He does have an affordable contract. Youth and production will likely make him too costly for contenders like the Chiefs, but backup Jalen Wright is far more likely to be moved. He has fallen out of a favor in the backfield and hasn't lived up to his immense potential since being drafted in round 4 last year. So I think the Chiefs should give up a 6th-round pick for Jalen Wright. I don't think the running back is the move you make anymore.
No, I don't either. I think that's very far down the line of things that you need to fix.
I think what Nate Taylor told us last week of ESPN, it's going to be a 30-30-30 share. It's going to be Rashard Smith. It's going to be Isaiah Pacheco, and it's going to be Kareem Hunt. That's what we kind of saw in this game against Miami.
And that's what it should be.
Each guy kind of show their potential because they know they're not going to run the ball. But where I think they could make moves, when you look about, you know, teams that are falling apart or teams that aren't working, and you look at where you need your need, why wouldn't you go look for a guy like Cam Jordan or Jeffrey Simmons? New Orleans is not going to do anything.
Right.
The Titans are clearly not going to do anything, and they need picks. They need to change the regime. They need a change of the guard at their head coach. They've got a new GM, Bergazzi, that was here. That's not his coach.
No.
We know Callahan's not worth coaching in the NFL. This D-line needs help. This D-line needs to create pressure, which I think then will help that secondary that is giving up a lot of yards and having a lot of penalties because they're asked to do more longer, which is tough in the NFL. I still think the hardest position to play in the NFL outside of quarterback would have to be defensive back. And if you could get some sort of pressure on your D-line in that area, guys like Cam Jordan, I know they're expensive and I don't know the numbers and all that, but I'm talking about names of guys that should go somewhere to have a chance at winning. Those two names fit the bill for me. Cam Jordan, Jeffrey Simmons. Why not go take a stab at those guys on those losing teams?
Yeah, and you know, I always like to look at what, you know, people suggest, and that's why, you know, sports is fun, because everybody's got their opinions. And this is, you know, a Bleacher Report article that probably I thought was written weeks ago when it was about the running back, right? Because I think we have figured out the running back position, excuse me, here in Kansas City. And if you're a fantasy owner, you don't like my answer, which is what Dusty gave you. It's a three-way split, and that's the way it should be in the NFL. No team should be reliant on one running back every single time. It is a death sentence waiting to happen. When the Chiefs were at their best at the running back position, they had Jamal Charles and Thomas Jones. And I remember people complaining they're not using Jamal enough. Well, those were fantasy owners who had Jamal Charles on their fantasy team that wanted all of the fantasy points. That's actually something that Todd Haley did that was very smart. He hasn't done much that was very smart over the course of his career, but that was something that was very smart, the utilization of those two running backs. And I've always remembered that and always thought that's the way you want to do it in the NFL. There's too much wear and tear. There's too much pounding that takes place on these running backs to say, we got a bell cow and he's going to run all season long. Very rarely do you see that happen in this league. So I love the three-man split that they're going to potentially have going forward at the running back position. Therefore, I don't think running back is a need right now for this football team. I'm with you. Defensive line, and I would be bringing in kickers. I really would. I would be auditioning kickers every single day and see what you can do. You know, from that standpoint, kickers are out there right now. There are reliable kickers that you can go out there and find. Remember, Harry was on the practice squad in Carolina when they found him. Nobody knew about Harry, right? They went down and got him from the practice squad. Great move from Brett Veach. We may need to find another Harry on a practice squad to bring him in here, because this Harry ain't getting the job done. So I would be looking for a defensive lineman and potentially a kicker. I don't really want to trade for a kicker at this point in time, because I think that's a waste of a trade. If you can find somebody that's out there that's good, a practice squad type of guy, go for it. Bring him in. See what he can do. But I think defensive line is really where we need the help the most. It's still like you can't get there with four guys. Anybody that you can get in here can help this defensive line. Also on that last play, did anybody else see Charles Omenihu just get absolutely taken out of the play? I've never seen a pancake like that since, like, Chris's Cakes at a charity event, man. That guy got pancaked on that last play.
Shout out Chris Cakes.
They're good.
Yeah, they are.
Never had them.
And Todd Haley, by the way, did go on to be the offensive coordinator of the Steelers, who then came in and beat the Chiefs 18-16 in that no-touchdown game.
Was he the OC that day?
He was the OC. I remember I was sitting in the down low, and he was giving it to the Chiefs fans, man. And it's like, hey, man, great job. You schemed up Antonio Brown beating Justin Houston there, Todd. Nicely done. We know how DJ feels about Todd Haley.
He knew he knew more than the coaches. I mean, it was just boom.
Well,
hey,
it was Todd Haley.
God, of course.
DJ's, you know, DJ will credit and has told me he does credit Todd Haley, though, with turning around his career. When he benched him in that Denver game, it was kind of a wake-up call to DJ. And he, from that moment on, he went on and became the greatest tackler we've ever seen in Kansas City history. So you can say, yeah, Todd Haley was terrible. But DJ will tell you, he goes, yeah, no, I credit him for you know, a wake-up call that I needed at that point in my career. And he gave it to him, and DJ turned things around. So that was the one good thing that Todd Haley did here in Kansas City.
In a weird way, Bob, I think I'm going to say that because Kareem Hunt broke off that long run the other night, I'm more trade for a running back now. Like, I just half sarcastically, like, don't remember the last time a Chief broke off a run like that.
Yeah.
I watched them and said to my fiance, like, that – they're allowed to do that, by the way. Like, they're allowed to do that. They can just keep running after they go through the line of scrimmage. And so it's that element of having 7 yards of carry on the ground, you know, the offensive line holding up as well as they have in the pass game, that balance is something this team hasn't had. I mean, maybe you could say in the Damian and Darryl years, I'd say it was the first time Kareem Hunt was here. Mm-hmm. We saw what they did. They didn't win the football game, but 500 yards of total offense. They're a pick six in the end zone away from winning that game. I'd love a running back.
Can Breshard Smith be that guy, though, for you?
In the pass game, absolutely. As a bell cow, probably not. But I tend to align with you in the thought that, you know, you need multiple, which, again, Todd Haley did well in the Charles and Jones split. I need someone that can withstand contact and break a tackle more so than Pacheco and Hunt can.
Someone asked, when's the last time the Chiefs had a 100-yard rusher? It was Kareem Hunt last year on November 4th against Tampa Bay. He did it also on October 7th against the Saints. Prior to that was Isaiah Pacheco on 12-31-23 against Cincinnati.
It's few and far between. But again, this is not a passing offense or a rushing offense. It is a passing offense. No matter how much we want to sit here and scream, it's like what Kling always says to us, you know, we can ask him to run the ball. I don't know that he is, you know. So, I mean, they're going to use the passing game as the extension of that running game. And when you have Patrick Mahomes, don't you kind of want the ball in his hand as much as you possibly can? I understand that, but I also understand the need to have balance.
Speaking of balance, there's more balance in the play of one Aaron Judge, because last night...
Two-strike pitch. Hits a drive down the line. If it's Ferentz's moment, it is! It's tied! Judge has arrived!
There's not many moments in sports that it doesn't matter if it's your affiliate, your team, your player... You kind of understand the moment. That was one of those moments we talked about at the start of the show. If you missed it, feel free to check the podcast page out. Also, feel free to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can see our faces as we do this show every day. But that last night, I texted you and I said, here we go. This is the Judge moment. Yep. And coincidentally, at the same time, you've got the WFAN on the Yankees broadcast, and they're saying the same thing. Is this one of those moments where Aaron Judge does it and that guy lost? He didn't even call the foul pole.
Here's the pitch. High fly ball, deep left field. Down the left field line, it is off the fair pole. Hey now, hey now, hey now. Three-run homer, Aaron Judge. This game is tied at 6-6.
He'd go on to make a diving play the very next inning in right field. And I told you, I said, he's not done yet. They'll have another chance today as there are four elimination games today. Everybody basically playing today. Mm-hmm. Yankees will play that mid-evening game that we'll all be watching until Survivor starts for me, as I'm all in on Survivor for some damn reason. But that was a moment last night where, this is tough for me to say, but when Denver won that first Super Bowl, right, with John Elway, mm-hmm. and it was like, this one's for John.
Right.
You're like, you know, this guy tried his whole life to get there, and he finally did it. Drew Brees for the Saints, you know, giving up on the Chargers, or Chargers gave up on Drew Brees.
Yeah.
He did it. Aaron Judge's legacy was built and hoped on by this moment, and he finally did it, and now he is tied for third. Fourth all time in Yankees history for tying or go ahead home runs in the playoffs. He is behind Jeter, Bernie Williams, and then it is him and Babe Ruth with 10.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that unbelievable? People talk about Aaron Judge not being good in the playoffs, and has he had that moment? Not really. But then you say that, and he's tied with Babe Ruth for the third most game winning or game tying home runs in playoff history for the Yankees. That's stupid. I mean, that is insane when you start to talk about that. And I don't know if you were joking when you texted me about this last night or just come from the garage
or
whatever.
The mushroom? We'll get there one day with you, Bob. The Mount Rushmore, not the mushrooms.
Yes, the Mount Rushmore. Are you ready to put Judge on the Yankees Mount Rushmore?
He's got to win one.
He's got to win one. He has to win one. And if he does, then we are probably having that conversation. But for me, it is done with the Aaron Judge slander. We are officially moving on from people saying that Aaron Judge doesn't play big in the big moments. He had his big moment yesterday, and this playoff, he's hitting 500 in the playoffs right now. 500 this year in the playoffs.
Yeah, what is he, 10 for 20 or something like that?
It's ridiculous. He's got six RBIs, the home run we saw last night, or however many.
And
you know,
almost feel it coming because
yes.
They were down early. It was 6-1, then it was 6-3, and they were talking about Judge in the pregame because they were talking about how he's hitting the ball, but he's not necessarily a guy that's supposed to hit singles. He's got to hit a big shot.
Right.
And last night, with facing elimination in the Bronx, everybody's biting their fingernails. There's always tons of Surfsides, by the way, in the crowd in New York.
Oh, yeah.
That's
where they started, because it's a Philadelphia thing, and so they started on the East Coast. You see them all over the stadiums.
They're crazy.
They're fantastic. Like, when we went to Philly and they had Surfside there,
mm-hmm.
I didn't leave the stand.
Right. Yeah. And when you watch that moment last night, it's like, okay, Judge, like, you're kind of running out of time here, because if you don't do it here, you probably lose this game. You're bounced out of the playoffs. And again, this isn't a Yankee thing. This is a player thing.
Uh-huh.
And you were texting me, like, who's a guy that, you know, or a team that you root for or that you don't root for that you hate, but yet you still respect? And Aaron Judge is, in my, we do one word, he's an anomaly of a Yankee, right? I hated A-Rod. I hated Jeter. I did not like Tino Martinez. I didn't like Paul O'Neill. No reason. Just hated him. I just hated him.
Because they were good. It's like why people hate Mahomes and Kelsey, and you know.
It's kind of a, for me, it's a luxuriousness of me to be able to like Aaron Judge because there was a time in the Yankee locker room where I was going to interview Judge before the game. I just wanted to ask him a fast five. That's all I wanted to do. And he's getting ready, and some other guy from a station across town had already annoyed him as he's watching video and interrupted him and interviewed him. And you could tell that he was annoyed. And as he gets up and he started to put his jersey, you know, on and get ready, I went up to him and was like, "Hey, Aaron, do you have, you know, a quick minute for an interview?" He's like, "I got to get to batting practice." And this is a true story. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Okay, no worries." And he goes, "Well, do you have the questions ready?" I said, "Oh, yeah, they're ready to go." He goes, "All right, well, we can get to it." And then down the hallway in the visitor locker room, I hear, "Judgey, let's go." And he goes, "Sorry, man, I got to go to batting practice, but I'm sure you'll be around for a while." And I said, "I think you'll be around for a while." And he kind of smiled at me. He goes, "Take care." And didn't have to do that. He's a Yankee. He's larger than life. He's one of the most popular athletes in the world. And he was human, and he was humble, mm-hmm. and he was nice. And I'll remember that the rest of my life. The three nicest athletes I've ever ran into in a baseball locker room have been Eric Hosmer, Aaron Judge, and randomly Chris Bryant. Because Chris Bryant had a sick pair of Jordans on. I was like, "Nice shoes." He's like, "What do you know about shoes?" And I was like, "How much time do you got?" And he turned around and he goes, "Tons, let's go." And I was like, "Well, I used to work at Champ Sports." He's like, "Oh, what'd you do there?" And it's just Chris Bryant here. And this is when he's like peak Cubs, yeah, Chris right, Bryant. Yeah. And I'm like, "What the hell am I doing in this industry?" But it's things like that. And when you see that, so Judge is one of those guys. Like when I was a kid, it was Tim Brown. Hate the Raiders. Never liked the Raiders. I had a Tim Brown jersey.
Yeah.
My dad despised me for it. But I had a Tim Brown jersey because I loved Tim Brown. Did not like the Raiders. And I don't know. My dad's 69 today. I don't know if me coming in with a pinstripe 99 jersey would end it. It might.
It might.
But I don't want to do that to him. But he's one of those guys that as a Yankee, he is the anomaly. Bernie Williams was that guy.
Bernie was that guy too. Everybody loved Bernie Williams. Jorge Posada, I think, is in that category as well for people that everybody loved. Like Jeter for me, like I used to like Derek Jeter. Then I talked to Derek Jeter. And then I'm like, "I don't really like you." I'm just going to be honest. I he was not nice in the locker room to me. Not that kind. A-Rod couldn't have been a 180 from Derek Jeter. It was great in the locker room. One of the best experiences was Josh and I talking to Bryce Harper. We're like, "That guy was awesome." It was when he was with the Washington Nationals. So he's fairly still young in the game, but he was still a superstar. And he was kind of like that same thing. He took that time. When those guys do that and they're nice to you, it's such a it's such an anomaly from the way that people normally act and treat the media. When they respect you and treat you nice, it really does stand out. And that Aaron Judge, that's a product of his upbringing. Great parents, right? Taught him the right way to do things. Respect everybody, man. Whether they're a reporter, whether they're the janitor, whether they're your teammate, whether they're the president, whether they're the CEO, it doesn't matter. Respect everybody the same. And I think Aaron Judge has found a great way to do that. And I think, Dusty, that's probably why you like him. He was raised the right way. He's got great parents. He treats people the right way. You say it every day. Treat people the right way. Do nice things for people. That's what Aaron Judge does. I mean, he's just a good guy all the way around. And I'm so glad he had that moment last night, because now Josh Allen is the next guy who needs a big postseason moment. I mean, it's where it is.
Him and Connor McDavid and Fall Puck has officially started
last night.
No doubt about it. We get back on the other side. Normalcy for the Chiefs is what we'll discuss here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I haven't seen information about this other than the text line that just brought it up. Did you see the video of the kid receiving a package from the Chiefs who had his headband stolen?
I did. It was awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, really cool. He got an autographed Mahomes jersey and everything.
Oh, that was that kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I saw that. Yep. That is sick. That is sick.
Yeah. You knew they were going to do something to make.
Better believe it.
But it still doesn't take away the. Well, I can't say that word on the radio. It doesn't take away the AH-ness of that woman, okay? It really doesn't. She still sucks, and she should still be fired from her job. Stole from a kid, Karen. Go back to Boomerville.
What was it, the guy?
Drive slow and ruin everybody's day.
Was it the guy of the at the U.S. Open? Is that what it was? He stole the hat and then told the kid, he's like, yeah, sucks to suck. Sorry.
Yeah, so yeah. And then you had the Philly woman as well. You know,
we know her too well. That is, from what I've seen, one of the more popular Halloween costumes.
The Karen Philly costume is it?
Yeah, that's Philly awesome. Jersey, red hoodie, and then the Cruella DeVille and glasses and a baseball. Very, very cheap.
I love it.
Go to like Wish and get a knockoff Philly jersey, and then you're her.
That is good. You sent me a picture, DM me. It says photo of the year, and it's Judge kind of walking after that home run, right?
And the Yankee or the Blue Jay pitcher.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't even looking at him. I was looking in the background. I was looking at our friend Marlins, man, right?
Yeah.
And he sent me a tweet that somebody sent out this morning and said, why is there a random Marlins fan at a Yankees Toronto game?
Thanks for listening.
I mean, this guy has been doing this since 2012 when the Giants made that first World Series run, and he had the orange on, so they thought it was the Giants. Nobody really paid attention. But then it came to Kansas City in 2014, and that's kind of when he really started popping, you know, as a sports fan. And so if you're on social media and you don't know who Marlins Man is, did you just get born yesterday? I mean, I'm being serious. Like, if you're watching a sporting event and you don't know who Marlins Man is, have you been watching sports for the last 12 years or so?
It'd be like, who's this fireman guy that leads the JETS chant? What's he doing there? Why do they have a fireman in there? Like, what are you talking about?
Who the hell's this guy walking up the rafters with moose antlers for the Royals?
Yeah, Craig Rumpstool, baby. Love you, brother.
Well, in case you've been under a rock or behind a moose. This guy kind of does it. Can't miss him.
I mean, he's in every major sporting event. He's battling health issues right now. His doctors told him, they said, look, you could go any day. He goes, well, then screw it. I am going. I'm going everywhere, right? And so, you know, he's traveling all over doing his thing. He'll be obviously at the game tonight. But, you know, looking at him sitting back there, I'm just laughing. I'm going, my God, Marlins Man has literally been at everything. And so I texted him last night because after that Judge home run, you know, I was outside. I'd just gotten home from the Johnny Boy fundraiser where I ran into Neil Smith. I'll tell you a story about him in a second. And so I'm outside and Judge hits the home run. I'm yes. And so I text Marlins Man. I'm like, because I'm in my feels at that point. I'm like, what's the greatest sporting event you've been to?
The Royals clinching the pennant with my dad against Baltimore.
No, I was asking him, but that for you, that's great. I don't know my answer. I think it's
Super Bowl in Miami.
Honest to God, I've told people this over the years. It was always watching Lance Armstrong win in the last Tour de France in
Paris.
That
guy cheated.
I know, but when I was there, you didn't know it.
That guy scammed us on a rubber band.
He really did. He's a screw
live
job.
Strong or do steroids.
Yeah, really. Like he that was really cool at that moment in time. It was accidental. We weren't there for the Tour de France. I was there with my parents on vacation. But I asked him, I said, what is the greatest sporting event you've ever been to? Think of all the sporting events he's ever been to. What do you think his answer was?
Wild card game.
What do you think?
For Marlins Man?
Yeah.
Blocked by James, the comeback in 2016, Warriors Cavs.
Chiefs Bills.
13 seconds?
Yep.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a solid one.
Yeah. Chiefs Bills. I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. Because I thought, you know, you're caught up in the moment last night, Dusty. Everybody was caught up in the moment of Aaron Judge last night. I thought for sure he'd go, this was it. You know, seeing Aaron Judge do that. But that 13-second game, I think that's why we all had confidence on, you know, Monday night that they were going to go out there and win that game. Because, like, oh, we've seen this before. We had 13 seconds and two timeouts. We've got 16 seconds and three timeouts. Let's go, baby. And Jacksonville, quite honestly, they knew exactly what they were doing because the Chiefs tried to run the exact same plays that they ran against Buffalo in that 13-second game.
So along the lines of who's this Marlins man, who's this guy with the moose antlers, the 620 has a great text here to the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Says, who's this guy wearing number 95 standing on the middle of the field while Trevor Lawrence runs into the end zone in a critical moment?
You get the rest of the month.
Fantastic.
Chris Jones.
That is really good.
You brought this up earlier in Jay Binkley as well. The Chiefs were 2-3 in 2021 and did just fine.
Yeah.
They're 2-3 right now. You're calling it normal.
It's normal. This is what normal teams do, guys, right? We have been so abnormal for 8 years here in Kansas City when it comes to football. This is a normal NFL season. You know how many teams are 2-3? You know how many teams are 3-2? You know how many teams are undefeated? None. There are no undefeated teams in the NFL. The problem is we're not used to normal. And we were kind of talking about it yesterday around the office. And then you read the text earlier of somebody wanting Andy Reid and his entire coaching staff fired because of what happened in Jacksonville. And they're just an undisciplined team. And this listener can't take it anymore with Andy Reid, you know, running his program. It makes you think like you've been spoiled over these last 8 years. Like we have not had to deal with normalcy in football since before Patrick Mahomes took over this team. And we're not used to it. And if you weren't watching the Chiefs, you know, prior to 2018 or watching the NFL prior to 2018, you're not used to this. I get that. This is something you're like, oh my God, what's going on with our football team? What we're watching here right now is a normal NFL season. But for us, it is abnormal. And so we've got to kind of keep that into perspective. While people here are losing their minds and wanting Andy Reid fired and his coaching staff dismissed and all this kind of stuff, you're looking at a 2-3 football team through five games. They're not any different than any other football team at this point in time. They are a normal NFL team. We're just used to having our NFL team being so not normal that when it comes back to the pack and we're normal, it scares the living daylights out of us. And it shouldn't.
Yeah, I don't like normal. To be honest with you, I like the like last year, 11-0 in one score games, 15-2 in the regular season. You had one loss at the very end of the season in a game that you didn't play your starters. Like you said, that's not normal.
No. But 11-6 the prior year and winning the Super Bowl, that is a normal type of season. You know, that's normalcy in this league. What we're doing right now, they're a normal team. You're not going to be an abnormal, above normal team all the time. The fact that they've been able to do it for eight straight years of dominance, the Patriots didn't do that. From 49ers didn't do that. Gary Myers didn't do that.
Well, he thinks he did. From the 6-2, I will never forget how mad I used to get during the 2019 season. And then they won the Super Bowl. Since then, I just try to go with the flow.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Get to the playoffs, and then you know, you start to look at these teams in the playoffs. Let's say the Chiefs are the 7th seed. Who's the 2 seed in the AFC this year?
Buffalo.
Who's the 1 seed then?
Colts.
Well, as of right now.
As of right now.
But the Chiefs are not the 7 seed right now, but let's say they are.
Yeah.
Buffalo's probably the 1 seed, and the Chiefs are going to Indianapolis or Pittsburgh.
Hate going to Indianapolis in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but if I'm going to be fair, yeah. I hate it.
We haven't gone there with Mahomes yet, though. We haven't played them. The only time we've played them with Mahomes, we beat their ass and then forced Andrew Luck to retire.
Yeah.
Right? And that snow game was a nice bar we built in the parking lot and had all our bottles sitting there. It was a perfect game. I loved it. It was Saturday at 3:30. We saged the place. We burned things. It was great.
Jerry Jones flips the bird, plus Joe Flacco goes to Cincinnati. We talk about it all on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.